up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we're coming to you live from a couple of places on the internet. We're live on Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitch, Instagram, Kick. We're back on the old Kick this week.
Woohoo!
That's
Kick,
been
Kick.
Huge for us. Love if you're kicking. Watching on Kick, well, you're the one, so there you go. Maybe you're listening later wherever you get your podcasts. Could be Spotify, could be Amazon, could be any sort of like big corporation, honestly.
Let's just get real minuscule. Let's just start naming random places they could
mom,
be.
You know could be where's the mom Walmart, and pop podcast shops?
I want EMAC and Bolio's. Could be an EMAC and Bolio's. I don't know. Anyway,
Alex,
wherever you're listening to your podcast, you can get an ad-free version of this podcast and all the podcasts we do at patreon.com/comicbookclub. So please do support it. We appreciate everybody's support. But we got a great show for you this evening.
Yeah,
Pete's chowed down on his peanuts. He's got his energy. He is ready to go.
Guy.
Justin, any nuts? So
I right. gave my dog the loud dog food, so he knows how to.
Nice, come on. Oh, you want to hear him? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know what?
He's part of the
this
show.
Is good. Let's do more of this at the top of the show. Catch up about what we're eating, about our tasks.
Alex, like what's an annoying sound that you make?
Yeah, I think I just did at least two of them, and also me talking. I guess
that's a good. That's my
no, Alex.
It haunts
that's,
me. In my
that's numbers. What Pete says.
Yes, Pete, it's only haunting your nightmares because I creep into your house at night and whisper into your ear.
I knew it!
That out of the way, we've got a great guest for you this evening. Yes. Very excited to have her back on the show after a very, very long time. I think the last time was when we were live in a theater. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong about that. But she is the creator of Dark Horse's Touched by a Demon, a show that we've been really enjoying month to month here on the podcast. Welcome back, Kristen Gudsnow. Kristen, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me back. Yeah, it was in a theater. It was really exciting. I remember back in the day. But
yeah, it was
also,
like 10 years ago.
This is nice because I'm literally sitting in bed.
yes.
We like thanks that for having us.
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, we're all in Kristen's bed for those of you.
Yeah.
It's a quadruple decker bed. It's not a big deal. Anyway, we've been loving this book. This is great.
Yes.
For anybody who hasn't heard us talk about it on the stack or hasn't checked it out, the general idea of the book is a couple of demons decide to open up essentially a self-help shop, and it goes horribly wrong from there. Every issue, it gets worse and worse, and it's not really their fault. Like, they're sort of pushing things in kind of the wrong direction, but mostly it's letting the people they're offering help to take the horrible road they want to take, and it spins out into wild comedic directions. Again, love the book, really enjoying the book, but to take it back, what was, other than the Touched by an Angel pun, what was the inspiration here?
Yeah, well, I was watching this really bad like Hallmark movie that was called 12 Christmas Wishes for My Dog, where this lady...
Wow. They've really just sort of scooped it all together.
Yeah, it was like an SEO kind of title.
They're making one movie now.
And this lady got 12 wishes, and she did such a bad job on them that...
12?
Like, magical. Yeah. They were like, she was like, I wish... Okay. It was like almost like offensive. She was like, I wish for shoes.
Oh my God.
I wish for the banging to stop next door. And she doesn't use any of her wishes for her dog, by the way. She kennels her dog.
Oh man.
I don't think like lost access to the dog. Anyways, I was like, I was sitting there watching and just like, this is so bad. I was like, what if the life coach that gave her these 12 wishes was a demon? And then that's when I was like, oh, that's a cool story idea.
Wow.
So yeah. It was from
watching being... bad movies helps. That's
it
great.
It does. You know, Alan Moore said the same thing. He was like, if you read good books, you can't copy them because they're already good. But if you read
Flawless Moore.
Wow.
Flawless Moore.
It's like he was in the room. It's like he was in the bed with us.
I that's channeled crazy. Him.
I did want to mention before I forget, every week on the show we have, and this is true, a chef down in New Orleans named Brent Macris. He works at a place called Shift, which is an incredible restaurant there. And he creates a cocktail based on our guest or the thing they're talking about. And this week he made a cocktail called Psych. I turned it into bourbon, which I believe is a reference to, I want to say, the first issue, maybe? If you've read the book, you know what it's about, but it has bourbon or rye, Amaro Averna, blackberry simple syrup, lemon juice, Agnusura bitters, and fresh blackberries or lemon peel. You probably have to use bourbon since you turned it into bourbon, but there you go. Inspired by the book.
Awesome.
Whoa. Very cool. What an honor.
Yes, you are. But to get back to the book itself, so once you came up with the idea, what other Hallmark movies did you look at for inspiration for the characters? I'm kidding. Where did the characters actually come from?
I think, well, a lot of it comes from me because I've always been like a big self-help person, like not a therapy person because I just, you know, it's just hard telling people like your shit and also being like, I don't know. I tried therapy once and she was like, "You're great." And I was like, "Oh no, I made too good of an impression on you. And now I have to like maintain this." But like I always read self-help books, but I never like to finish them because then I'm like, I didn't finish my self-help journey. So I think that a lot of it just comes from my like constant attempts to change for the better and then just like backsliding and then trying again. So that's like my journey in life.
Wow, well thank you so much for sharing, that's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got
so this is like a wish fulfillment book for you then.
Yeah,
you're like
I think it's like more like a cynical look at the attempts that people make to become a better person, but maybe there's hope, who knows.
So this
see,
is three
I get
issues.
Hope when I read it.
Yeah. Pete always hopes to be touched by a demon whenever possible. There's been three issues so far. The fourth one is coming out, I want to say, May 13th. And each issue has its own challenge, its own thing for these life coaches to go through. How did you whittle it down? Like, did you have a long list of possible things they could tackle? Or is this just sort of how the cookie crumbled?
I think that on the one hand, so issue three, it's the guy who gets it's not a monkey's paw, it's a chimp's paw, because it's not a cursed wish until he uses it too many times. And that was like kind of the starting idea because of the magic wishes. But then I guess I was just kind of writing the story and seeing where it took me. And like also trying to think of like, because the you know, I also watched a bunch of Touched by an Angel when I was doing this as like for
as
research.
You should. Yeah.
And I was like, actually, some of these are good. And they had like fun, like cameos from like, you know, 90s like TV stars and stuff.
Nice.
And I was like, okay, I have to at least do as well as Touched by an Angel with my like story of the week stuff. So that was like the goal, trying to like at least make the. It's tough though because a TV episode has like what 45 minutes or whatever, but a comic book is so short.
Yeah,
yeah.
Even if you're cramming as many panels in as I sometimes do, where I'm just like, what if we do 10 panels a page? So it was like tough doing like the pacing of it, but I just kind of saw where the story went, and yeah, there were a lot of ideas that I ended up putting on the back burner, like. Because they're just obviously, I had four issues, so going to like four like clients of the week, but I have so many more ideas.
I was gonna say, right? I feel like this could go forever.
Yeah.
And one thing about the book that's really caught on in our Discord is your T-shirt game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hannibal Montanable is very like. Where what's I just tell us about putting those in? Are those jokes that are popping into your head? Are you like?
Are
setting a blank t-shirt
you
canvas
want.
Down.
Yeah.
And when can we start buying them?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Put your orders in now. You know, a lot of times it's like from things that I miss here. Like one time from one of my books, I said the Twilight Zone. Well, actually, this is my husband. I said the Twilight Zone. My husband goes, the Toilet Zone. And I was like, oh, that's great. And then I like wrote it down. So I just have like a weird thing in my phone that is just full of like just. Oftentimes just really like offensive, horrible nonsense. And I'm like, I'll save that for a sign gag. And other times I'm just like, it's too boring if they're just wearing a blank t-shirt. I have to write something on it. And actually when I first, like when I was in like middle school or something, I was like doing comics to entertain my friends. And for some reason, every single panel, the characters, they would wear, be wearing a t-shirt that said something different each panel. And I don't think I can, do that anymore because I just don't have enough ideas. But
do you, I don't know how much you do cons. Do you ever make some, any of these shirts for your table or anything like that?
No, I mean, I guess I could. I don't, I don't know if any of them are, I mean, apparently Hannibal Montanable struck a chord, but I never know if any of them are actually good enough to like memorialize like that.
I think both of the ones I remember from this book, Hannibal Montanable, like I was joking to you over email, but like you could sell literally 2-3 shirts to our Discord. But
I mean, I could get you 10, I think. I don't want to compete. Yeah.
But I do think like, was it issue 3 where it was Les Incroyables, which was Mrs. Incredible, but in the Les Miserables pose? That one I was like, oh my god, put that on your table at Comic-Con, you'll sell a ton of those for
I'm so glad you got it, because I was like, is this reading as Cosette, like sad Cosette from the Les Mis poster?
Oh, 100%.
Yes, but it's a very particular person you're speaking to in that shirt. And Alex may be like one of six that I know of.
Oh, appreciate it. And yeah, there was one that was like homeless romantic, I left my cart in San Francisco. And that was one where I was like,
oh, I'd buy that one for sure.
Oh, we got a plus. If we showed
up, if you someone like showed up to your table and you're wearing the shirt, you know, it's a fun thing to bond over.
Yeah, this is Spaceman Frank Adventures in the comments says, my wife is a Hannah, sign me up. So there you go. Nice. Little off, but
got you covered.
That's all right. A sale's a sale, you know.
We're here to make you money.
Yes, it's interesting to hear you say, unless I misheard this, that the idea from the third issue with the chimp's paw was the first idea. Why did that end up at issue 3 then? Why wait for that one?
I think because the first issue, their client of the week ends up being like a main, their like secretary. So I thought she would be Wendy. She's like the girl who, can I just spoil my comic? Like, or
yeah, yeah.
Like, what's the right thing to do here? Yeah, like, she like murders her parents and her sickly sister. Yes.
Oh my god!
So happily too.
I know she's Whoops. she like becomes their secretary. I thought she would be like a good intro to the story because, first of all, I mean, I think that it's just like a little like sick joke in my head, but like I made this like kids book series called Making Friends, and I was like, she's totally like a making friends girl who's like, I'm just like having trouble, and I'm like, you know, a teenager, and she's like all innocent and stuff, but like she's in a different kind of book, so she just goes down this horrible path. But also, I don't know, just like approaching it from like a very like, just like, how do you get people to like your comic? I was like, she's, I assume, hope she's like a sympathetic character that people could like learn to like, whereas I feel like Max, the guy from issue 3, is like way less sympathetic and is kind of horrible. So I was like, maybe don't start off with that, like try to win people over first.
That makes sense. It also really sets the tone nicely, because even with the touched by a demon thing, given that there is self-help, the expectation is, oh, these demons are going to learn to be better over the course of it. And again, since we're spoiling it, I guess, but at the end of the first issue, like, oh wow, then maybe they really help this girl and they're going to help her more, but they do not. No. She does the most awful thing possible by the end of the issue. And that really just like, that sets the stage for what to expect with the series, that it's like, nope, this is just going to get worse. Nobody is really learning anything here. It's just all the way down hole.
Yeah. It's just like fun to like pull the rug out from under people. So,
well, and I feel like now, especially with comedy, it's like, well, make it, it sort of started in like the Judd Apatow generation of movies, where it's like, this comedy can be funny, but it also needs to really make this man solve his problems or whatever. And now I feel like everything comedy has to really drive toward like a heroic win for some, or the hero or the rest of the characters. And you're literally swimming in the opposite direction.
Well, that way, happily. If like in the future, if I do, I don't even know what I want to do with this story, but like I want to pitch another like series of it or whatever. Yeah. But like I haven't decided like what my end game is, but that way if I make it really dark, then that's called like earning the like win at the end or whatever, possibly.
That's right.
How has it, I don't know how much you're allowed or can talk about this, but how has it been going? I only ask because we've talked to a lot of Dark Horse creators who get towards the end of the run. They're like, I don't know, up to Dark Horse, man. So how is the feeling? Because I'd love to see more of it personally.
Yes, all of us.
Yeah. I honestly, I have like a toddler, so it's hard to like get my shit together. And like, so I have to send him like a second pitch and like, so yeah, it is kind of up to them. And it's up to, so if you listeners out there like this series, definitely pre-order the trade, because that's what will like determine whether it gets another, you know, continuation. Yeah, I don't know.
When is, I should have looked this up, I'm sorry, when is the trade coming out? Do you know yet?
I think September. Sometime in September.
Okay, let's say September. Start looking in September.
Yeah.
It is a great book. We're absolutely loving it. Anything with the final issue coming out, anything you want to tease about the conclusion of what is hopefully the first of many series for Touched by a Demon?
Well, it's funny because I just like, I got really, I've always like been a big anime fan, but like I got back into anime really hard while I was drawing issue 4, and I feel like the art got a lot better. Because I got really inspired. Nice. So I was like, oh, I feel like my art just like, it went like my composition or whatever, at least in certain parts. I probably should have like done that in issue 1. I always feel like a train just like cranking up and like getting, you know, I don't know. It's always hard starting anything and like making it.
George Lucas it. Just go back and change the whole thing, release a special edition. That's
fine. Definitely.
I probably should, yeah. No, I honestly, I have things where I like look at old books of mine. I'm like, why did I not fix this thing? Like, as I was drawing, I thought that looks bad, and then I like didn't fix it. So like, that's my new goal, is like to not have to do that. But anyways, I feel like the art came out cool, and actually, issue 4 is my favorite one, and cool. It's really exciting. Sorry. It's a real roller coaster ride of a story.
Oh. Fun. Awesome. Wait.
One quick question on that. So, do you feel like you were inputting a lot more anime, and it affected your style? Does that happen like with different genres or different things that you take in, just like subconsciously?
And it's like really weird. If I like reading a book, it's like whatever I'm reading just comes out into the thing I'm doing. Like, I was like, we were watching Gargoyles when I was working on Hench Girl, and I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna do like a Xanatos style, like, oh, this is a triple reveal. And like, I wish that, like, I guess I just have to like watch Gargoyles all the time when I'm writing, so that I can think of like fun, like twisty plots. But like, it was only because of that like I thought of like this thing with this like truth telling, I don't remember exactly, like a truth telling stone thing. I was like thinking about Gargoyles when I did that. And like, whatever I'm reading is just like the tone of that ends up like subconsciously being in my stuff.
Well, that's cool. Hench Girl was also amazing. I'm glad you brought it up. That was such a fun series.
Thank you.
Gargoyles was very twist and turny for an afternoon show that I watched after school to relax. It was real.
I always thought it was like, I don't know, when I was little, I wasn't really into it. But then my husband was like, Kristen, Gargoyles is actually really good, and you need to watch it. And I like watched it.
Very literary. Very
like,
literary.
Yeah, it's like good. I just didn't like what the gargoyles looked like as a kid. I was like, I want Pokemon.
Impressions are spot on tonight. Really killing.
Whether it's Alan Pikachu. Moore or young yourself, you're absolutely.
I got two modes, and I can channel them quite well.
Kristen, before we let you go, obviously people should check out Touched by a Demon. But anything else you want to plug?
I guess just follow me on, I guess, Instagram and join my mailing list. Go to my website and sign up for that.
What's the address? Is it your name.com?
KristenGuznuck.com.
Excellent.
And go ahead and try to spell my name right. I dare you.
go ahead.
Like, you don't leave any clues in your lower third there.
No, Kristen, I didn't even bother. I can't spell it.
Help me spell my name.
Looking forward to the conclusion of the book. It's been great so far, like we've been saying. Great seeing you again. Thank you, Kristen.
Thank you so much. Bye.
All right, there we go. Once again, the name is Touched by a Demon, the fourth and final issue of this series, and hopefully the beginning of many more issues to come, is coming out May 13th from Dark Horse. So definitely go to your comic book shop. Let them know you want to read Touched by a Demon.
It feels like such an ongoing. Let's get it going.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. So more Touched by a Demon, please.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
And more of my favorite section, because you all make it up, it is your audience questions. And for audience questions, all you got to do is drop a question in the comments. But while we're waiting for those, what are you guys drinking today, Pete?
Oh, a little daytime, you know what I mean?
It's Lagunitas.
That's right. Great. Chug it when you can.
Justin, are you drinking the drink?
This is just Daddy's medicine. Syrup. This is gin, Aperol, and limeade.
Mm. Oh, interesting.
That sounds nice.
It's very good. It's a little bit of spring coming out in the air, and a little bit of solo parenting gone wrong. You know?
Good luck to you, sir.
Good luck. While we're waiting here, I think this was actually a question for our guest, but we can probably answer this one from Spaceman Frank Adventures. Do you think you could catch a gargoyle with a Pokeball? Good question. Well, what do you think?
Well, that's the thing, is how are Pokeballs keyed into what they're catching? Is it, you know,
some of the smaller gargoyles, maybe, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Is it a size thing? Because Charizard's pretty big.
Huge.
Yeah.
You're not going to catch Goliath, you know what I mean? I mean, he's too powerful. Just forget about that.
Well, you can't necessarily, like, automatically catch them with a Pokeball. The question is, could you, if you're a good enough Pokemon trainer? And the answer, I think, is probably, because I don't think the Pokeballs... Can you catch other humans in Pokeballs?
I was just thinking, is that a thing? I don't know how...
I don't know. I feel like they had to do that at some point, right? God,
when this will really we understand this technology wheels. That's being shoved down our throats,
yeah, Alex? I would love to know, like, a human gets trapped in there and one episode of Pokemon comes out. I was like, it was a nightmare zone. Where was I?
I think the opposite. I would like if I'm in a boring conversation, I can just release a boring human to like from the Pokeball to like
release take boring. Care of that's not gonna help anything. That's gonna make things worse.
Then I can duck out.
You know, instead of using AI, you could just have a bunch of guys in Pokeballs with different skills, and you're like, accountant, I choose you.
Oh man.
Gotta catch them all. And by them all, you mean
I don't
all
think
of
you
the...
guys have ever watched Pokemon.
Yeah. I'm not familiar. No,
I mean, I get it.
I have, actually, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are we missing, Pete?
I used to have a girlfriend who I made do Jigglypuff for me.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't have said that.
I have a
couple
of questions.
Other questions coming in here.
Yeah, I'll take my question about that into the chat. So we can.
I don't know if we can come back from that one.
Derek Maynard says...
I think I have to quit.
What a time to do it.
I think I have to walk away after that.
Well, that's it for me. It's been a great 20 years, guys.
Oh, man.
What are some of your favorite bad movies or TV shows?
I guess all of Pete's stuff.
Yeah, I love a lot of them. Like The Princess Switch is pretty bad. You know, like there's a lot of like, they're almost Hallmark. They're like Netflix rom-coms kind of gone wild type of thing.
Yeah, my problem is usually if I like them, I don't consider them bad because there's something of merit to them. So I don't know. I know this is avoiding what should be a very easy question, but I always find this very difficult because I'm like, I try to think through what do other people think is bad, but then I think about it, I'm like, no,
it's
but
like
I
what's
like
a
that.
Guilty pleasure? You know, I know these
pleasure,
movies
man.
Aren't
I'm
great.
All pleasure.
Well, yeah, yeah. Tell us about your pleasures, or I guess when you get to the Jigglypuff girlfriend stuff, I guess we'll hear about that.
I don't. Please stop. I don't want to walk away, but.
But that's the breaking point for you?
I don't even know how to unpack that.
Pete,
I
mean, the last on a regular basis, you're like, oh, yeah, I had a friend named Jigglypuff, and I didn't date her, but like my best friend Squeezebox dated Jigglypuff for like 6 years.
Justin, I don't want to bring it up here, but apropos that, I told you this over text. We have been doing this monthly book club with our Patreon listeners, which has been a ton of fun. Love doing it. During the last one, which you weren't at, we found out about two new Pete jobs that I had never heard about.
Can you drop them here, Pete? What are you doing?
Or do you want to save them just for book club? Are they a book club exclusive, Pete?
I don't know about all that. But
okay,
yeah.
Give us one. Give us one here to tease for the
I used to work at an ice factory where it was 18
degrees.
That's not
real. That's not an ice factory.
You worked in 18 degrees, and you had to work so hard. Because if you stood still too long, you would freeze because your sweat would freeze to you. So you
this is a dream you had. This is not. There's no way this is real. What are you, a Coors Light character? Like, what are you talking about? You work in an ice factory. That's something from the opening
Rochester,
sequence of Frozen.
New York, bro.
Ice factory in the what?
Yeah.
The
it was called 90s? Happy Ice, and there was nothing happy about it.
What are you doing in this ice factory? Chopping the ice?
No, basically, ice would come down to shoot. And I would
a
have
block
to
of ice.
No,
it would come down and
cubed ice, and it would be like 35-pound bags, and I would have to put them on a pallet, and they would get kind of taken to the truck.
Did you have a coat on? Or were you completely nude again?
No, yeah, you had long johns on, coats. Like people's like, if your thumb got stuck in the machine, it would pop off. Like it was insane. It would get stapled.
What are you talking about?
It was crazy dangerous.
What year is this?
This forklift driver was nuts. He once took out a beam. It fell between two dudes. They just looked at each other, and we never saw him again. They just walked away because they almost got killed by this giant beam.
Left the ice factory job?
Yeah, that's right.
Never to be seen again.
Never to be seen again.
So, were you in what elementary school? What child labor? What
no,
year
this
were
was this is when I came back from living in L.A. and I was saving up to either move back to L.A. or New York City.
Wait, so you were an adult working in the ice factory?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Adult is 19, 20. You know.
I mean, that counts. 20, it definitely counts.
I mean,
and we'll keep
it
secret, but there was another one. I do want to say there was another job as ridiculous about.
Yeah. Phrenologist?
We do have a couple more questions coming in here, though. This is from Scheuchler. If you were asked for advice for aspiring comic writers, what would be your number one?
I mean, I guess there are a lot of people I know that are writers that are like, I want to try a comic. And I think the biggest advice for that person is learn the format, right? Like the format is very different and it's sort of specific. And sort of figuring out how to write that way. For someone just trying to get in, the advice to any writer always is write.
Right.
Yeah.
Just you have to do a lot of it.
Yeah, just do it.
Yeah, I actually was talking to a young aspiring comic book writer the other day.
I don't believe that.
That was the basic thing I told him. But the additional thing that I always like to tell people is write something and finish it. This is something that like was always in the first lesson whenever I talked sketch comedy back at the Pit, where so many sketches will get like 3/4 of the way through, but you actually got to train yourself to finish things, even if they're bad. And what I would tell people, the short version of this is like the amount of sketches I'd write where it'd be like guy is sitting in a cafe typing on his laptop and that's how it started. And there's no jokes in it. It isn't funny. I would always spark another idea like halfway through, write it down somewhere else, finish the thing I was doing so I could train myself to finish it, then write that second sketch. That also wouldn't be funny. I'd have another idea halfway through, write that down, finish that sketch, and then the third sketch might potentially have some merit to it. And the reason I said this, same thing for comic book writers, is it's very easy to get caught up in the idea of like, I'm going to create the next Spider-Man, or ooh, we're building out this whole universe, etc. Like, just write the one comic and finish that comic. And then at least you have something that you can look back on. You've trained yourself to be like, how to complete the thing, how to complete the arc of the thing so you can do it better the next time.
It's crazy, having spent 20 years working in the entertainment industry, creative industries, nobody finishes anything. Like, it's great. Like, the defining factor, everyone, we come up in any creative endeavor and we're like, I'm going to be the best. I'm going to be the funniest. I'm going to do this. The skill set you need is to finish anything. Because you will be funny enough if you can finish something and put that out in the world. I know so many people that were not the funniest that are working at top level in any industry because they completed their jobs.
Yeah. There you go. Hope that helps. Stray Bullet says, someone in the Discord asked Alec a very adult question, but I don't think he actually answered it. Which superhero would make the best sex toy?
Oh, my God. What is happening
I
right
did
now?
Miss that. I didn't see that. What do you guys think? What would be the best?
Well, it depends on what you're working with, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, I could see an idea for, a Superman in flying pose. Fun.
Sure. Oh, we're talking the whole superhero, like the whole thing. I was thinking just like Mr. Fantastic, you know what?
Oh, you mean what superhero is a sex toy now? Like
No. Like, I feel like when we're talking about a sex toy, we're not necessarily talking about like a real doll or the whole thing. We're talking about certain parts of it, right?
What is happening right now?
I mean, I think we can all interpret this our own way.
Sure. Pete, how do you interpret this?
Oh, Nat's at a comics tattoo studio. Isn't that fun?
That is nice.
Yeah, we got five times on all of our different places we post. This one I'll take from, this is from Comic Book Club on Twitch. Going back to your Jigglypuff girlfriend, keep going.
Yeah.
We would like lie in bed and watch Pokemon. Justin. And then I would be like, hey, do Jigglypuff. And she'd be like, Jigglypuff, or go, and that was pretty much it.
What do you mean by pretty much it? So that was like, that was like pretty much it from
that. That was pretty much it. That's pretty much the whole thing.
So what happened right after?
This is like
the way
we go get breakfast.
This is your foreplay.
We'd go get breakfast because it was the morning. So we like, you know, we'd watch Pokemon and then we'd go get breakfast.
I'm sorry.
Did you think there was something sexual? There was a sexual.
You made it seem like it was. Yes.
There was not. No. It's a children's show.
From the man who I watched get a pornographic comic with me.
Yeah. So many different questions about the thumb and the ice that I'm going to skip past. They're not even questions so much as statements, let's say.
I think Derek's right. Jigglypuff would make the worst sex toy.
I don't know about that.
Wow.
From experience. Straight Bullet says, if you were getting a superhero tattoo, what would you get?
Great question. What do you think? Superhero tattoo. And guys, we could do this.
Really?
Oh, yeah? We're going to start getting tattoos now?
The three of us could get one together.
Oh, that's a great idea.
What's wrong with that idea? Guys, we've been doing this for a large portion of our lives.
Yeah.
We have to remember.
You know what? I never thought about this before, and I won't probably ever get it to remember. From what?
Justin just said, guys, we have to remember.
Oh, okay. I was thinking one on your shoulder that looks like the X-Men jackets, like the X-Men logo.
Oh, yeah.
In the same place. That might be kind of cool.
Interesting. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Like, so pretty big.
Yeah.
All right, I'm into it. Pete, what do you think? Full chest Punisher skull?
I was thinking back, full back Punisher
full back?
Skull.
Full back?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. And then what you could do is you could shave a face into the back of your hair so it looks like when you're walking backwards, you're the Punisher.
Wow. That's a good idea. Yeah, you should shave the back of your head and put a face on it.
Justin, what would be your superhero tattoo?
I would maybe go with, it's a little like occulty, but the Starman Zodiac.
Okay.
On the back of Jack's jacket would be cool.
Well, you have thought also about this. Here.
I mean, I have one tattoo, but I've never really made the
really?
Move.
Wait a second. I almost did a spit take.
Yes.
What tattoo?
We've talked about this before.
No, we haven't.
No, you haven't.
We've never talked about this?
We've never talked about your tattoo. I didn't know.
Right on my hip, I have the word "true" in typewriter font.
Why?
We've never talked about
this? We've never talked about it, as far as I know.
What do you mean?
Like right
What's
here.
Like your hip is true?
Like a tramp stamp?
I mean, but in the front.
Who's that for?
Tramps could be tramps on the front, too.
Don't I know it? You don't have to tell me.
So why?
What's true?
True. It was before I married my wife. It was like sort of a like being true to each other.
Does she have one as well?
Does she have one?
No, she does not. In fact, when I got it, she was like, "What did you do to yourself?"
She got one that says,
"You were
false.
Like, it's been false. A dark time since you've been gone."
Yes, exactly. When she comes back, I'm going to have a full neck. I would get into that. And Michael Hartney, comedy guy who I do Characters Welcome with, he has his name in Kryptonian tattooed.
Oh,
it's
pretty cool. Yeah, we know that. He's talked about that on the show before. Yeah,
but that's very cool.
Derek Maynard says, "Weird jobs, tattoos, Jigglypuffs, so many secrets coming out." Real confessional tone.
This is one of the
when we do a longer audience questions, we get into some weirder stuff.
Yes. Now, to kill some time, in case there are any more questions, you guys can bring in more questions. We don't have trivia tonight, but we do have something else. I've mentioned this on the show before, but something we were talking about at our comic book club Discord in the food and drink section is this challenge that we saw where you try to eat a slice of pizza in 3 bites. Now, Brett Macris did it, and he ate a slice of pizza in 3 bites, but it was a plain slice of pizza, not a pepperoni slice of pizza.
Yes.
Pepperoni slice of New York style pizza. Yes, but I got some good news for you guys. Maybe good news. We got another submission.
All right.
That I'm going to bring up here. And this is not, I'll admit, this is not the best for our audio podcast necessarily, but that's okay. We can react. We'll talk you guys through it. So you can watch what's going on as I try to figure out how to get this up here. I know how computers work.
Do you?
I do. I just don't know where I put the file. Okay, this is probably going to come up immediately. You guys tell me if the volume is going. Here we go.
All right, let's go.
Okay.
Nope, wrong one.
Good?
Yep.
All right. Hello, my name is Orlando. Doing the pizza
Good.
Challenge for Comic Book Club podcast. Here's a slice of pizza. Don't know if it's New York style. I'm sure Pete could tell me, even though he's no longer a New Yorker.
Shots fired, bro.
The choice is Planned Parenthood of Delaware because I love my wife. She's the best part of my life. She's the woman I know. So fuck anybody who decides that they're going to try to take away women's rights. So
yes, dude. Yes, sir. Right. Though.
I'm sorry you have to see this, but the things we do for comics.
Yeah.
Start your timer.
All right, so he does. 3 minutes.
Well, I don't think we said that was part of the challenge. I appreciate that he tried to do it in under three minutes, but I don't think you have
to. That's nice. 3 bites.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow, he's getting a big bite in here.
Strong.
You gotta go big. You gotta go big on the first one.
You have to go big all three.
That's the easiest bite, too, because
you're going to get cursed by the Christ.
Yeah, the crust.
Cursed by Christ. God doesn't want you to do this.
This is what he meant by body of Christ.
Touched by a demon, yeah.
Oh, okay, he's rolling it up for the second bite. This is pretty good.
Smart.
Nice big bite, but there's a lot left.
There's a physical suffering happening here.
Yes. I believe his wife, I'm guessing, is off camera. She's laughing.
Yes.
He seems in pain.
That's a big bite.
Is he going to be okay? He doesn't die at the end of this, right?
Yeah, Alex refused to call the ambulance.
Oh, my God, Alex. What have we done? We can't do stuff like this.
Faces of death is back, man.
This is a big bite for the third piece.
If somebody dies doing this, I'm going to feel really bad, bro.
No, he's not going to die.
Yeah, I vet the videos up until the end. So
yeah,
I'm sure it's fine. All right, here we go. He's stuffing it all in.
That was like snake style.
Holy shit.
He unhinged his jaw like a snake.
Wow.
He's feeling wobbly gravity-wise.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't know if it's the camera operator's falling over or if he's falling. Yeah. But
I appreciate the fact that he's turning away from the camera so you don't see this horror.
Gentleman.
Oh, my God. He's a real gentleman. Well, you can tell he's a gentleman from the speech in the beginning.
He seems in pain.
Man, this is... He like ripped me to shreds and then said something
rip
really
Orlando.
Wow.
Yeah.
He did
Please
take
don't
a quiet,
die. Please
like
don't
taking
die.
A knee from an eating POV. That was taking a knee.
Please don't die, man.
Yeah, he's really tried.
We need you to.
Here's the problem: is the crust is like it takes so much longer and so much more jaw energy to chew.
Exactly. That's why
you got to start with the crust. I think. No. That's the trick here.
No, that's insane. That's too much chewing in the beginning.
He did it. He did it in 3 minutes, which, again, not part of the challenge. Not
a challenge. But I think it's bites. Good to have a timer. You could chew this for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Still working. What?
Oh, he's working. Okay.
Because here's the thing. You start with the crust.
It's a whole slice of pizza. It's a lot of chewing.
Are we going to do this challenge?
I'm never going to do this.
Well, so here's
the thing. Pizza's meant to be enjoyed. I'm not going to do this.
First of all, what did he say? Planned Parenthood of Delaware. I'll go back and listen to make sure. Yeah, we definitely will donate $25 this week because he rocked this challenge.
Wait, Orlando's here. Orlando's in the comments.
He says, it's a humbling moment seeing yourself on video like this.
You're a hero, Orlando. You're a hero.
Anything for our comic book show.
Thanks for seeing that. Hoping that ruined your weekend.
Thanks for seeing that.
Hope it didn't ruin your weekend.
Amazing.
Yes. Orlando showed up right at the end to keep the drama high, but he is.
Oh, man.
Yes. Now, 100% going to donate $25. I don't know how you guys feel about this. I'm going to throw this out here, and I don't want to diminish his accomplishment. I don't think that was a New York slice of pizza.
What are you talking
look
about?
Look at you. Because it was too short.
It was too short.
Oh, my God. Are you really going to... Oh, you're going to...
Here's the thing.
Give him props. He just inhaled
a whole
slice. No,
give him props. We are donating. What I'm saying is I feel like, not to belabor this very stupid bit, but there is a chance for somebody to come in here with like a legit New York size style slice of pepperoni pizza.
You saw what... he almost died. What are you trying to do?
I think we need a measurement.
I
want
to see somebody die because...
I think we need a measurement.
You're an asshole.
A measurement?
We need a link.
Well, how long...
We need a center line on the pizza slice.
What are you talking about? Just... You know what a regular slice is.
Well, I guess... I don't think people do. I don't think...
Slices are every size.
Yeah. So what would we say? Like, what would we say like an actual New York slice is?
I mean,
now, straight bullet says, I'll fucking do it. No, no,
no straight. You already did it.
You had
please
your chance.
You had please your don't chance. Do it. I don't want to be responsible.
Don't
you have a family.
Again.
You run an amazing business. I want to go back
be
to your restaurant many times. Please don't die.
All right. We're going to look this up, though. And I will mention we still have an open challenge to put your body in the same position as Frank Miller's recent variant Batman cover where Batman's legs are over his shoulders. If you can send yourself a video or a picture of yourself doing that, we'll also donate $25.
That's more dangerous, I think.
That is more dangerous. Maybe not.
I'm getting a New York slice is 10 to 12 inches long.
Yeah, that seems fair.
Yes, straight bullet.
Straight bullet,
don't do it.
You already did it.
New York slice is a minimum of 10 inches long.
Yes. So there you go. So, Orlando, we are going to donate to Planned Parenthood of Delaware. Straight
can't believe you're insulting Orlando. Like
cut.
After all he did
for already
us.
Did it. We already donated for you. But it's still open. If somebody... Ooh, here we go. Zen Man says, what would you call the standard New York size slice? Today's standard is 18 to 20 inches.
I think that's a round.
Yeah, I think that's the whole pizza.
Yeah, we're talking about
that's not a round. That's the diameter. So that makes sense that the slice would be then 9 to 10 inches, half of that.
Let's make somebody eat a slice of pizza that's 18 to 20 inches long.
Oh, my God. I've seen those on TikTok. They're like one giant slice. It's like a whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's you need a normal
please,
slice.
Please, straight bullies, please no. Please, straight bullies, no. Straight bullies, please. Step down, man. You have a lovely family. You have so much to live for. Please don't.
Pizza doesn't kill, Pete.
Yeah, pizza can only heal you, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
pizzas
you
don't
saw
kill people.
Them, just
pizzas
like...
don't kill people, Pete. People kill pizzas. What? No. People don't kill
it
pizzas.
It takes a good pizza.
Orlando almost died.
No.
The stray bully is almost choked to death as well. I don't want him to keep living dangerously.
I'm not
going to
stop
like
until one of our listeners is dead.
Oh, my
pizza.
God.
Pizza. What a statement. Pizza doesn't kill people. People kill people by pizza. People shoot pizzas.
Buy pizza. Buy pizza?
Buy
great time
pizza.
To remind
buy
everybody, if you go to comicbookclub.threadless.com, you can get our Pizza Fantasy t-shirt.
Yes. This is
a real thing that a couple of people bought the other day.
Hey, really? All right.
That was a funny moment for our lives that we had.
Yeah. I bet I could bring it up.
We deliver, you pick it up. Was that?
Yeah. Yep. Oh, here we go.
You I'll pick it up, we deliver.
Yeah. Yes. This was during a review of...
it was one of the more genuine bits of nonsense we encountered organically.
Oh, man. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Here we go. Oop. There's the design.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yeah, the Pizza Fantasy. You could order that right now. You can get a sweatshirt. You can get a whole sheet for your bed. Anything you want, really.
Man, this, show definitely get a sheet. This show has gone off the rails, man. This has been a crazy show.
Stray Bullet says, Brooklyn wants one of you to do it.
Yeah, well, that leaves two assholes because I'm out of it.
Pete, you eat slices in three bites anyway, casually.
Yeah, that's right.
I've seen you eat pizza.
I inhale food. It's a problem. But
so then what are you worried about? Yeah, what are you afraid of? What are you scared of?
I'm not. I just, I almost, I saw two grown men almost die. I got nothing to prove. I love pizza.
If you don't do it, I'm going to take away $25 from Planned Parenthood.
Don't you say.
Like, I'm going to walk into a Planned Parenthood.
Orlando deserves that for what he went through. Don't take that away from Orlando.
No, Alex is going to rob Planned Parenthood around the country. Like a wild west.
Crazy amount of cash around at all times.
Big cash business, Planned Parenthood.
Yep. Yes, seriously, thank you, Orlando. Thank you for doing that. We appreciate it. Why don't we wrap this up by talking about what is coming out tomorrow? Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Yeah, a lot of great stuff coming out tomorrow. Excuse me, I just got to get to the right page.
Pete, did you just eat a slice of pizza?
Yeah, slice. I tried to do it right there. Planet She-Hulk number 6. Oh, my God, this fucking rocks, and I'm pissed nobody's reading it. Batman, Wonder Woman, Truth number 1, just absolutely amazing. And Russell Heist number 5 was such a blast.
Great. We haven't read any of those, so interesting takes. Justin, what about you?
I have to highlight the end of Sacrificers. The last issue is coming out tomorrow.
Yes, dude. Come on.
What a wild progression. I'm very curious. Rick Remender, he has his last issues, I feel like, are true final statements on what he meant by a series like this.
Someone should teach a class about the way he ends comics.
He's one of one when it comes to the way that he handles his creator-owned series, and it's great. So very much looking forward to that. I Hate Fairyland number 50 is coming out. We talked to Scotty Young a few weeks back, and he was very excited about this book. That got me hyped about it. So definitely want to check that out. And, that's it.
I'm looking forward to Swamp Thing 1989 at number 1 is coming out. We also talked to Rec Veach a couple of weeks back about the final return of this book after three decades. It's very curious to check it out and see what's going on. Also, I'm very interested in A Quiet Place Storm Warning number 2. I thought the first issue of this was pretty great from IDW. Yeah. Really good riff on the Quiet Place movies. Curious to see if they can keep it up in
issue 2. Did you like the movies?
And I liked the, what was it, Year Zero or whatever the prequel one was.
The newest one?
Yeah, the one with the Peter Nalgo and Joseph Quinn. That was great. The other ones I was like, that's all right. And
really? You didn't like the first one?
The first one?
I thought it was okay.
You really were bothered by the whiteboard.
No, that was the second one. The whiteboard was the second one, right?
No, first one.
Yeah. I was just, I don't know. I thought it was okay. I thought it was
If they were still saying sound question mark in the second one, that's extra embarrassing.
Hellboy in Love, Black Eyes. Excited about that just because I've been really enjoying this whole Hellboy in Love thing. It's really cute and fun, and it's a good Hellboy story. So there you go.
Yeah.
Great. Truth. I thought you were going to say more. And
I did too.
Were you going to say something? Oh, go ahead.
We've talked about that.
You can't spoil it because we haven't read it yet. You know what I mean?
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Hellboy universe in general. And, I do think these Hellboy in Love stories are a little bit closer to the core that I hope Mike Mignola is aiming at, where we are going to get some big Hellboy story coming. But it does feel like we're orbiting like the Hell story that we were reading, the two-issue story.
Yeah, The Crown, A Tale of Hell.
Tale of Hell, yeah. Whereas this is a super interesting backstory, but it's still right off the edge, you know?
Yeah.
We're edging a little bit with this.
We're edging.
With a Mr. Fantastic in our butts, you know what I mean? You know what I mean, Alex.
I definitely do. Jigglypuff all the way for life. And that is it for this week's show. Thank you to Kristen Gutsnuck for coming on.
Yeah,
check out Touched
great
by
back.
A Demon from Dark Horse Comics. Next week on the show, Jerry Duggan is going to be back to talk about
Wonder Man.
The Dog's Tales of the Green Lantern Corps, and many more books that he's working on. Comic Book Club News, our daily news show Monday through Friday. You can check that out on his own feed. Podvincible, our Invincible podcast, just wrapped up season 4. Marvel Vision, our Marvel podcast, currently tackling Daredevil Born Again. Let's Hear It for the Boys, our Boys podcast, talking about the boys every
so
week.
So much happening.
Oh my gosh. Patreon.com/comicbookclub. Support this show and all the shows we do. Comic Book Club on Blue Sky, Comic Book Club Live on Instagram, TikTok, and Threads, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast, and many more. Until next time, we'll see you at the Comic Book Club.
Good night, everybody!
Sorry, Brooklyn, not gonna do it, buddy!
You gotta do it, Pete. It's a Comic Book Club. In the song, the girlfriends that can barely tolerate are Alex's Jigglypuff girlfriend. Oh. Just the little origin story.
Jigglypuff, Jigglypuff.
Stop. Truly haunting. Truly.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.